Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of Walter's World, the podcast series from Astadia. For those of you who may not have joined us before, Astadia is a systems integrator who works in the space for mainframe migration and modernization. And in this podcast series, we are fortunate to bring in some of the industry leaders in this space to talk about mainframe migration and modernization. And today I'm really happy to introduce and have with me Brent Bouchard, who's the AMC Regional Sales Director for Australia and New Zealand. Hi, Brent. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Walter. Good morning, everyone.
Really excited to have you here. Thank you for taking the time and an early start to your day.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay. Brent, could you describe for the audience what it is that you do for Micro Focus?
Certainly, I'm the Regional Sales Director for the Mainframe Modernization and Migration Practice for Australia and New Zealand within Micro Focus, which we refer to as Application Modernization and Connectivity, or AMC.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Britt, I know that you have worked with both public and private sector.
Yes.
And I'm curious, and I know there are differences, but how would you describe the level of interest in today's world, especially with everything going on with COVID? Level of interest in the enterprise and the government markets in moving mainframe workload to the cloud, especially?
Yeah, absolutely. If you asked me 12, 24 months ago with the COVID pandemic, what would you think? I would have thought that the migration would have slowed down. However, it's gone gangbusters. It's at its peak right now. And that's because companies are needing to support their staff in new modes of work. And there's an unprecedented focus on lowering operating costs for the organization so they are sustainable in the future, and also ensuring that they are able to reach and support their customers in new modes. So it's unprecedented interest and activity in the market today.
Yeah, Brent, we at Astadia have seen the same. We were actually shocked. Like you, we didn't know what COVID was going to do to this industry. And for us, you know, the first 30, 45 days, it certainly had an impact. People were trying to figure out what they could or should do. And there's just been a paradigm shift in the way that people work, everybody working from home. As you know, we all just sit in Zoom meetings all day long, every day. But after that, people have really started to express interest. And I don't know if a part of it is that, you know, a lot of people don't want to go back to the data center anymore and they're retiring. They're looking at other options. So people are having to look at things differently than they ever did before, I feel.
I agree with you there, Walter. It's challenged us to look at new ways that we operate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we talked about public and private sector. Just in terms of, I'm always intrigued by this because I started my industry in the government sector. Yes. From your perspective, the government agencies that you work with there in Australia and New Zealand, are there any special challenges that they face as, you know, they go through looking at alternatives for what they're doing on the mainframe today that the other organizations, the public ones, don't have to worry about?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Walter. At the face of it, we'd look at this and say that government has the same challenges as corporate. We have data privacy or privacy of the citizen. We need to make sure it's insecure. They have changes in the market. But I think it's right now exacerbated for the government. And I do feel for them because if we look at government, they've been the longest investors in technology. So they've got the widest mix of technology.
Great.
But especially in Australia, we've had issues around bushfire and bushfire relief, which has flowed straight on to COVID-19, which has gone into stimulus payments, as also you would have over in the United States.
Right.
We call it JobKeeper here. And as we're moving into the vaccination, we have the COVID-19 vaccination certification scheme. What this all adds up to is government agencies are being asked to work in the most agile manner that they haven't been seen since inception. So you're encumbered with the longest technology debt with the widest mix of technologies, and due to absolute issues now to support the citizen, they're being asked to be as agile as a startup organization. So yeah, they've got a pretty difficult task ahead of them there.
It's not an easy thing, is it, when we think about our mainframe backgrounds and the way that we responded to change compared to what people have to do today. It is 180 degrees opposite, there is no doubt.
No longer do you get 2 years to roll out a new application.
Absolutely. Brent, how would you describe the sentiment overall in the market where you are towards mainframe migration? Has it changed? You see differences from what has been there in the past?
Yeah, there's definitely an appetite for change now. And some of that could be through embracing change and others walking away from pain. And to describe that for you, there are definitely companies that want to change the way they work, but there's also some realistics in the world, as I said before, just becoming more profitable organizations. The difference to 4 to 5 years ago, Walter, is, or maybe 10 years ago, we've had multiple organizations now, whether it's Kmart, Queensland Rail, Tower Insurance, and some others, which I won't name. It's proven. The skills are in the market. They've done the migration off. So now that the art of the possible has been proven, customers are now saying, how can I leverage this? How can I take this on? 4 or 5 years ago, there was certainly a lot of interest in it, but they didn't want to be the first one to move off. And if I could encapsulate the sentiment now, as I would say, is no one wants to be last person standing. And I say that because who wants to be the last person running a technology trying to find and keep resources in the market? And I think all of us have seen that. As the number of mainframes shrink in the market, so does the resource pool, because we've got an aging workforce that may be retiring, and good luck to them. I can't wait to do it myself. But at the same time, it's people, as their organization retires mainframe, they may reskill or move into different technologies.
Absolutely. I don't know if you feel the same too. One of the things that we have seen here in the U.S. is, new industries. No one really, if they're starting a new business, very few people would say, I'm going to go out and buy myself a mainframe. They're finding new and different ways to do things. So like with fintech, people who are starting companies changing the way that the industries work, and organizations, the old brick and mortar shops that have had the same mainframe environment for 30 or 40 or 50 years, it's harder for them to compete, I think, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And need to define it, because I've got a lot of personal affection for the mainframe. But it was the optimal platform for a time, but times change, markets change. And the unprecedented agility that's required now, the connectivity that's required, and the compatibility with working with other companies and other systems requires a platform that unfortunately the mainframe was not designed for. What made it robust is now holding it back today. And what made it fit for purpose yesterday does not make it fit for purpose today. And certainly that's where we're getting that drive for people of moving to cloud and using those new native technologies. Yeah.
Great, great point. And if you don't mind, I'm going to steal that sometime. I love the way you phrased that. What was perfect before doesn't mean it's perfect today. That's great.
Yeah, the world does change, yes.
Indeed, indeed. So as organizations look at those kinds of changes and a need to be more responsive, are there things that still hold them back from making
We do see that enough. Yeah, Walter, we do see that a fair bit. And it's to do with, as I class, emotional inertia. I find a lot of the time it's difficult for us in anything, whether it's personal life or technology or business, to actually say, while that was the right investment to make it a period of time, we need to change. And what happens is the leadership of an organization will reach down to their company and say, we want you to do a review. We want to see if this is the right platform. But the people they're asking to do that were the people who made the decision to acquire the mainframe or have been supporting it for decades. And that creates an analysis paralysis, and they don't realize the opportunity cost. So they'll look at the platform and they'll say, it's running well, don't change it. But the opportunity cost, the cost of not doing something else, being more agile, being quicker to the market, those areas there, and they should be analyzing that. So what I always recommend is they should get an external party to give guidance as well. Certainly leverage the knowledge and the awareness of the business internally, but don't be afraid to look out and get advice and guidance from those outside. And what I would say is reach out to the customers that have done it before. Reach out to the Kmarts of the world and those organizations and talk to them about their journey, because that's the way you're going to truly understand the value that they unlock.
That certainly makes sense to me. I know that I think it's important, and I often recommend to people that My first mainframe migration is a lot different from a mainframe migration today. I've got the bumps and bruises, we all do, that we've been through, and we know it's painful. And for someone who's been working on a mainframe their entire career, I feel sometimes they don't know what to look for, to be concerned with, or to plan for. So working with people who have gone through that, I think you make a great point that it is not just comforting, but it's educational for them, knowing what to look for.
Absolutely. And certainly in Australia, the technology sector is not a large sector compared to, say, the United States or Europe. And there is certainly a certain amount of help that you would find from organisations. So there are many communities within the Australian technology market that if companies reach out to, we can connect them to. And those who have done it, those who have the skill, they certainly are into the trading of information and ideas. So I would say that you're not alone in it. And if you do reach out, there are certainly other companies that would be certainly willing to share their experience.
That makes sense. Well, let's talk for a second about Micro Focus. For those organizations who are looking to, you know, find their proper journey, and we recognize that no two journeys are the same, how is MicroFocus best geared to help those organizations?
Absolutely. Well, first I'll start with experience. This is something we've been doing for 40 years, well before I joined the organization. And we've done, to memory, in the last 10 years, we've done well over 600 migrations just in the last 10 years alone. So we've got the skill base, the technology, and that technology has matured and improved over time due to the number of migrations that we've got. So I believe that puts us in a unique position. And then also our partner network. So organizations such as yourselves over at Astadia, which we've got a long and trusted relationship with, Accenture, Infosys, TCS, Wipro, AWS, Azure. So you need a strong basis of a partner network because all of them bring different qualities to the table and we couldn't do it without them. But at the same time, our technology and our skill and our experience, that is what's going to make us difference. But it's also our approach. A lot of people you'd hear in the industry talk about a lift and shift. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is do not give up on your application. Keep that application. There's money in that application. It was what made it you successful. So we're talking about modernize a platform. We work with our customers to then, after they've modernized the platform and remove those inhibitors, to modernize their processes and modes of work. That's adapting agile and DevOps style processes on these legacy platforms. And then overall, once we've done that, that allows a true modernization of the application. And that's talking about the unlocking of data and modernizing those business processes.
That absolutely makes sense to me. Brent, I talk all the time about the fact that I think that the business rules that are in companies' code, that really helps define who they are. It's a differentiator between them and all of their competitors. So the thought of giving up on that is
frustrating. What I like to say to customers, sorry, Walter, is that you are here and your competitors are not proves your business process. That is what made you successful. Why would you want to give that up? Why would you want to go back to a generic industry standard off-the-shelf program and then have to modify it? Because that you're here and your competitors are not, that's why you are successful. Those business processes and how you approach the market.
You've earned the right to be different that way.
Yes.
To make yourself different from your competitors and better able to respond to your customers' needs. So you and I are in sync on this.
Absolutely. We want to outperform the market, not perform at the market rate.
I like the way you say it. Brent, I'm curious, from your perspective, and I know you get to talk to lots and lots of organizations, why do you feel that those organizations still consider modernizing old systems when they could just replace them? And I know we just kind of talked about part of that, but do you find that people want to just follow trends sometimes? And so they don't want to modernize their old systems. They want to instead say, I need to work with different languages. I need to pull out business rules. What are the types of conversations that you have with organizations about what's important to them in that regard?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time people look at the end state they want to be at and they forget the journey, and it is a journey. And that's where we see a lot of challenges. So the end state could be actually a new application or could be in a new language. But they say, okay, this is where we want to be. and they step over many important steps in that journey. And if you look at the modernization overall and the conversations I have, is that the migration to cloud and the modernization with Micro Focus and our partner network can actually accelerate that.
Yes.
That you may choose to rewrite in the future does not negate the migration first. And some great examples we have is the Kmart example. They are refactoring and rewriting their product overall, but they migrated to Micro Focus first and they moved in 9 months. Why is that important? Well, that allowed them to invest the savings that they had from a migration into the modernization. So now we start talking about to customers, let's look at the end state you want to be at in 5, 7, 10 years time, but let's get incremental change and benefits up front. How do we front load the value to you? And then once we've got those cost savings to you, allow you to reinvest so you can have as close to or even cost neutral modernization practice. The alternative is investing tens or hundreds of millions of dollars in a new technology, running it side by side with no benefit until the end state, and then hoping when you flick the switch, it's going to give you the benefits that you're after. I'm thinking that the appetite for that is less and less because we've seen, unfortunately, seismic unsuccessful projects, and customers are more cautious, which I appreciate that approach. And we are heavily invested in the banking, the insurance, and federal government sectors in Australia. And that approach is, how do we improve staff productivity? Let's look at the developers and the testers. Can we get you quicker time to market before we migrate? Let's see how we can improve that. Then let's migrate and take out your operating costs. Once we've got that, let's feed those cost savings back into the new technologies. Then let's look at the application itself. Are there parts of the application that maybe could be broken off and rewritten in new technologies? But the core, which may be static or limited in its changes, let's keep that the way it is. Why disrupt what's working well? Why rewrite something that doesn't need to be rewritten?
Brent, that exactly matches what we've seen here at Astadia. I can't tell you the number of times where I've talked to customers who say, I recognize I can't get to that end state on day one, and that it makes economic and technical and business sense to do it in phases so that you get to take advantage of that economic benefit to reinvest in modernizing. What I've seen, though, is people say, I'm going to get there and then I'm just going to rewrite everything, or I'm going to refactor everything to a different language. Mm. What they have found is as they go through, especially for many of these old mainframe systems, they haven't recompiled some of their code in the last 15 years. The beauty of the mainframe is it does the same thing every day the same way. And what they've done is said, we can handpick, just as you described, those areas where it makes the most sense to get the benefit first. And with the development environment that Micro Focus provides, being able to have a COBOL program talking to a C-sharp program, as an example, it's not that big of a deal. That's the easy part. And you can pick and choose what you want then.
Absolutely. We're doing that with a very large federal government agency right now in Australia. And we've nicknamed it Modernization by Stealth. So what happens is, and it's got a lot of support, which is as a modification of a business process is required, they'll rewrite it in C#. And they're only modernizing the routines that the business has requested changes to. And we have COBOL talking to C# natively. It's working in the cloud and it's in the environment. It's still talking back to a mainframe as well. So there's still some legacy mainframe apps, but it's allowed them for this application to scale to an unprecedented level that they've got to do around a certain time of year.
Makes sense to me. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, what are some of the biggest concerns that you hear from your customers? I mean, and it may just be these, but normally we hear like costs and resources and agility. Are there others beyond that you hear? Or can you tell me what you most often hear about why people say, I need to go ahead and make a decision to do something different?
Absolutely. So it depends on the individual that you're talking to in the organization. Obviously, if we're talking to the business leaders and the business owners, it is about operating cost and efficiencies, because in these sort of times, you need to be running at the lowest cost base at the highest performance to compete your competitors. But agility is a really important one. And I have this discussion a lot of the time where I'm talking to the users of the application, the people who run the business. And it is a compliment that you have competitors, that you have created a high margin, a high profitable market share in a market, whether it's credit cards, home loans, whatever, that is kudos to you because you've run a fantastic business. The unfortunate side is that's created incumbency for you, technology debt and legacy, and you've got people who don't have those challenges and they can walk into the market learning all the lessons learned that you've had to build the hard way and try to disrupt your organization. So they're very much concerned about being agile. And certainly, I wouldn't say that this is something that will affect them tomorrow, but those competitors will grow over time and it may come to a level that they are actually a threat to those organizations. So agile is one of it. But one that I would say is top of mind right now is resource risk.
Yes.
Resource risk. We're coming up, I think in Australia, the average mainframe programmer is approximately 57 or 58. And we're coming to that time where people have worked hard for their lives and they want to enjoy it with their kids or their grandkids. And this is a reason why we work hard. It's not just a factor of throwing money at people. These people want to enjoy, joy outside of the work life. So we need to lower the skill bar required. And that's a lot of the time we can lower that skill bar. COBOL is a very readily available skill, but it's a SysProg skills. It's a mainframe Zeos skills that aren't so readily available. So if we can lower the skill bar, remove those skills requirements, then we can address that resource risk. If we can improve the productivity of the staff, overall, then we can manage the attrition of some of those key people in that environment. And if we can also leverage some technologies like our analysis tools, that allows you to visualize and understand the programs, then you don't have to be a 10 or 20 year stalwart on that application to understand what it does well.
I'm glad you mentioned the analysis tool. I'm a huge fan of it. And I think that it absolutely affords people and organizations the opportunity to not be terrified that their resources are retiring. I mentioned before with COVID, we saw a lot of people who were getting close to retirement age who just don't want to go back to the data center. They don't feel safe. And I've always contended, as you mentioned, it's not COBOL programmers who are the real challenge. It's the system programmers, the guys who serve 10-year mentorships, who you can't just pull out of school or teach in 30 days what they need to do. But with the analysis tool, being able to go through and understand the relationships, even if someone is picking up COBOL, it tells them everything that they need to be concerned about without having to have a 20-year history of working on that application.
Absolutely. And I have a small analogy or story for you there, Walter, where at a large, and I won't mention them, obviously, a large customer of ours, my team was running the enterprise analyzer tool. And I've always been big on transparency in business. And the customer had a wire diagram around their business flow. And my team did the analysis of the code workflow. And when you put the two together, in some cases, they didn't actually align. So there are some benefits there of actually getting that visual representation so you can validate what that amazingly complex business processes do in the code is reflected in how the business operates.
Absolutely. Brent, are you seeing a difference in the size of the organizations who now consider moving off the mainframe?
Absolutely. When I first took this division over for Australia and New Zealand, it was these smaller organizations that were looking to do it, or the ones that are under margin pressure. And the reason why they're doing it is they're trying to become more lean organizations. And that made a lot of sense. But the biggest insurance companies we're working with now in the country, and some of the biggest banks and some of the biggest federal government agencies, and that comes from that retiring resources, that comes from the skills risk, the resource risk, that comes from the need. Even a government agency has to be agile. I mean, who would have thought that we were going to have a pandemic? It was something we saw in the movies, and the government has to respond rapidly to support the citizen. And we even saw that in America with the unemployment benefit systems, which needed to modernize rapidly to support the load of stimulus payments that we're going through. So these large organizations are doing it. They obviously want to bank the benefit of being more operationally efficient, but their primary driver is more around that agile side. And we're seeing the largest organizations approaching us now and working with us.
Yeah, we have seen the same. It's amazing. When I started doing mainframe migrations back in 1994, it was the smallest of the small people who were looking to save money. In the last 2 years, just as you have, we have talked to organizations that I honestly never would have dreamed considering moving from the mainframe. And then for all of the reasons that you mentioned, and I'll add one more, the acceptance of the cloud in whatever form it's taking. People, I think, really see potential and huge benefit there, and they want to be able to leverage it, and they find it easier to do when they consider the options that we have talked about.
That's a great point there you make, Walter. When cloud first came out, I think that we were talking about the concept that a former employer maybe 10 years ago around the cloud, and we just saw it as a rehosting platform there, where it has matured into something amazing, the native services or the natural services they have there. So you can move applications in, you can leverage your data, you can interconnect well, you can run the AI, you don't have to develop it all from scratch. So they have this enormous catalog of pre-built services, which is truly ecliptic. And whether it's Google, AWS, Azure, depending on the need of the organization, all of them have this repertoire of services that customers can hook into. And I think that's driving a lot of those big ones, that capability that's already pre-built.
Absolutely. It's a paradigm shift, being able to take advantage of something without having to write it from scratch. It's just there and just works.
Yes.
Okay. Brent, I know we're getting close to the end of our time. Any final advice that you might have for organizations that, you know, they're still planning the future of their core legacy business systems, words of wisdom for them?
The main word of wisdom I would give them is reach out. Reach out and don't limit yourself. Now, that doesn't have to be to an organization such as Micro Focus or even Astadia, but there's a lot of companies that have gone through this. If you reach out, ask for help, ask for advice, I don't know anyone who's been in the industry who wouldn't give a moment of their time to help out somebody else. These are difficult decisions to go through. But where I've seen the most successful people is they get the broadest amount of ideas from the most organizations. Obviously, I have an invested interest. I'd like to work with these organizations. But if you limit yourself just to your internal resources, you're going to repeat what you've done before. And that's the emotional inertia that we're talking about. So reach out. And also, it doesn't need to be that hard. Sometimes we make things harder than what they need to be. And we're talking to an organization that said, we want to move 84 applications at once. And the question was, why? Why can't we move one? So you can do it in a staged approach. Reach out. There's a lot of help in the market. And just don't be last person standing.
Agreed. Brent, I really want to thank you for taking the time again so early in your morning. As always, it was a pleasure talking with you. And I hope this was a really helpful session for the people who attended and for our audience. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day. If you want to hear more of our podcasts, please check our schedule at www.astadia.com. And we look forward to seeing you all on the next podcast. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Walter.
Bye now.